Good morning, West Heights, and thanks to Christina for introducing me this morning. It's always fun to be introduced, but it's way more fun when you have no idea what the person said since I'm pre-recording this. I think what most people would tell you about me, especially people from my home church pathway, is that I really, really love the Bible. I get very passionate and excited when I start talking about scripture and what it means to me, and especially stories that are tucked away in scripture that very few people preach on or know anything about. One example of this is what we're going to be looking at today. Today we are looking at the book of Numbers. This is the fourth book in the Old Testament, and it is not the most interesting. It contains a lot of the laws and genealogies, and so we don't often read it. Unless you are doing a Bible through the year thing, then you probably try to get through it. But tucked into this book is a story of five brave women who I want to tell you about because this story challenges a deep assumption that I had. There is a deep assumption or a deeply held belief about prayer that I have been dealing with, and I think others have as well. I believe it holds us back from engaging in real, honest relationship with God. This assumption that when we pray, we need to be very timid. Many of us have been taught or have always thought that we need to be timid in prayer. Often the teaching was that we need to be kind of shy or skittish or fearful when we pray. And I honestly believe that our shyness holds us back from really and truly interacting with God. I mean, how can we experience God when we've put up a wall of fear or a barricade of posturing and behaving like we think we should when we pray? We should be bold in prayer. When I looked up the definition of bold online, it came up as showing an ability to take risks, confident and courageous. And this is what our life of prayer should be like. For some of us, this could seem like a strange idea. But let's look at this passage, which really makes this idea come alive for me, starting in Numbers chapter 27, starting in verse 1. Numbers, again, fourth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. If you hit Deuteronomy, you've gone too far, head back. So Numbers chapter 27, and we're going to be starting in verse 1. Verse 1. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonging to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now, at first, you might start to glaze over, because this is just a list of names. But here's what I want you to notice. These women bravely stepped forward into a place where they do not belong, where all the power was located in the phrase, son of. We hear that repeated in the passage several times. They do not belong here as daughters. Not only were they women, but they were young. They were not yet married. That happens later on in the book. And so they were possibly 12 and younger. So imagine the scene. Five young girls stand in front of the entire assembly, including Moses, their leader. Just imagine that heaviness in the pit of their stomach, the nervousness in their hands. They have stepped out of their comfort zone and into the unknown, a place where they do not belong. And this is what God calls us to, into a place where we do not belong and we are uncomfortable, the throne room of God. Think about it. We are able, through Jesus Christ, to talk to God wherever we are and whatever we're doing. We are able to barge in like little children and run up to God and tell God everything that is going on. And while that's beautiful, it can be a very scary thought for some of us, because we know that God is the God of the angel armies and the King of all kings. But God calls us to be like little children and step out of our comfort zone. God calls us to step out of our comfort zone. And I remember learning as a teenager, I remember learning that I was supposed to pray a certain way. that I had to follow a formula in order to make sure my prayers were heard, or God would be very upset with me. I was taught that if I didn't start my prayers off with saying I was sorry for whatever I'd done wrong that day, that God wouldn't listen to my prayers. This made me scared of praying because I didn't want to do it wrong. Before then, as a little kid, I always started my prayers off with, "Hey God, me here, how are you? I'm doing great." And then talk about how my day had been. I have learned that God loves those prayers, that there isn't a magic formula to hide behind when I'm talking to God. Sometimes it feels a little scary to come to God like that now. I can start worrying that, I'm doing it wrong. I should be more formal. But we do not need to be timid in prayer. This is not what God wants. As we will see with Zelophehad's daughters, continuing on in verse 3. Verse 3, they said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." These young girls stand there in front of the most important, powerful men in their society and say, "Give us property." This is daring. Not only do they go outside of their comfort zone, but they speak their mind open and honestly. This reminds me of my favorite story about my grandma. She is a firecracker, and her personality does not change even in her prayers. She does not have the best health and has been close to dying several times. One time she was lying in bed and her heart started failing her. She started to feel herself lift up out of her body and was starting to have an out-of-body experience. And my grandma realized that she was dying and she was mad. She started scolding God, saying, "You put me back down. It's not my time yet. Do you have any idea how much stuff I still have left to do? You put me back, you hear?" And she woke up in the hospital. God had put her right back down. And I love that story because, first of all, that's a perfect example of who my grandma is. And second of all, it shows me that she does not change who she is in order to talk to God. As children of God, we are to be direct and honest in front of God. We're to be direct and honest in front of God. God doesn't want you to walk on eggshells or be someone different than you are. God is big enough to handle it. We see this in the Bible time and time again. And if God has something to say about it, then God's going to let you know. And just like with the five girls we were talking about today, because we read on what God has to say on this. Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them." So far in our story, it has been all about the women. The women step out of their comfort zone, they speak boldly, but now God enters with the stunning pronouncement that they are right. This is truly an amazing verse because it shows us when we talk to God, God listens and takes action. And here we see that God changes the law because of their willingness to stand up and ask. When these five women came forward and dared to ask boldly for what they needed, the whole system was changed. Women could now inherit and own property, all because they stepped out of their comfort zone and were daring. Now, God doesn't give us everything we ask for. Don't hear me say that. You know, God is not Amazon where we click what we want and get it next day. God is like a parent who loves their kid, but also doesn't give them everything they ask for. I know very, very few parents who do that. God is a person. You know, God is a being. God is able to do whatever God wants, not whatever we want. But I don't think many of us have this problem of thinking God will do whatever we want. Sometimes I think our problem is that we don't even bother asking. I know this because my husband David is always the one who reminds me to pray about something. I will be in pain, or we will be scared of money problems or whatever it is, and he will say, we should pray about this. Why don't I ever think to do that? I'm the pastor in this marriage, so why am I not suggesting this? And I think the main reason for me is that I don't always expect God to listen. This thought gets in my head of, well, why would God care about my problems? And when I read the story of Zelophehad's daughters, I think, why would God care about these five little girls? And I don't know. I studied God for several years in school, and I have no idea. There is no logical reason why God should love us and care for us. It does not make sense. There is no reason why God should let us go running into the throne room of God and talk about our day. God is this huge, incredible being of ultimate power. And yet, God cares deeply about each one of us and our tiny piece of earth we live on. God listens to us when we pray. This God listens to five young girls and listens to me and listens to all of us when we pray. And when we remember how big God is and how much God loves and cares for us, it is no surprise that Alexis Carrel said this about prayer. The quote is on the top of your notes. Alexis Carrel said, "Prayer is the most powerful form of energy one can generate." Because when we pray, we are engaging in relationship with the most powerful being in the universe. God cares about you and I so much that God wants to hear what we have to say. We should be bold in prayer. We can step out of our comfort zone and talk to God as a child runs up to their parent or as a friend excitedly calls up another friend. No special language necessary, no magic formula, no behavior that we need to put on. It's just us and God. A God who loves us and listens to us. We just need to step out of our comfort zone and say, "Hey, God." Whatever our concerns, we can bring them boldly to God. You may say, as I tend to think in my head, well, my problems are certainly not as big as other things happening. You know, everything. Again, this is why I chose the story of Zelophehad's daughters, because there were far bigger problems happening in Numbers. We see in this passage that they recently had a rebellion led by Korah, which led to many people's deaths. Moses' brother Aaron had just died, and they were trying to decide who would take Moses' place as leader when he died. There were way bigger things happening in this society. And yet, God found these five girls' requests very important, and not only listened, but did something about it. We can pray boldly to God because we can trust God. We can trust that God sees our heart. And as we enter into Lent this year, which is traditionally a time of fasting and praying, I think this is an important concept to keep at the front of our minds. Often I think about Lent as a time of fasting, and I forget the part about prayer. I get very preoccupied with finding the perfect thing to fast from. But I forget that the reason we're supposed to be fasting is so that we have more time for prayer. Lent is a time where we're supposed to pray and prepare our hearts for Easter. And during the season of Lent, there is much to be praying for. It is strange because I'm preaching to a group of people I've never met, for the most part. So I've never met you. I've never met your kids. I've never met your spouse or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance. I don't know where you work. I don't know what school you go to. I don't know what your day-to-day life looks like. What I do know is that God cares very much about it. That God knows your story, and God wants to hear from you. And while we know that God cares about what's going on in our personal lives, there's much to be praying for around our world as well. We need to pray for our government leaders as they try to lead through a pandemic. We need to pray for the churches in our area who are struggling. We need to pray for our medical professionals who are giving it all they've got. We need to pray for our kids, for our teachers, our parents, for our essential workers, for those who've been out of work. We need to pray for our neighbors and family and friends who are scared and lonely. We need to pray for our world that is crying out for justice, in a world that is rampant with racism and white supremacy. We need to be praying for justice. We need to be praying for peace. And that's why I want to talk about this, is because I see these daughters, these young girls say, "Give us property." And God listens and takes action. This story should make us drop to our knees and call out to God, "Give us justice, give us peace, give us hope, give us a future for our children." Because we know and we can trust that God is listening to us. And I cannot think of a better time for our churches to be getting on their knees and praying. More than ever, we need to pray. And we need to pray boldly and honestly. We need to be like the daughters we learned about today who demanded that God fix this. And my hope and my prayer is that we would go into Lent with this attitude, informed by bold prayer, and that we would go to God and not be timid or afraid, but really and honestly come to God in prayer and ask for what we need, for what our world needs. On that note, let's pray to our powerful God this morning. Dear God, thank you so much that you listen to us. Thank you that we can be guided by you, guided by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would convict us, that you would bring in our hearts to know who you are and know that we can directly talk to you. God, that we would not be afraid, but that we would call out to you in love for you and in love for others. Lord, help us this morning to have our eyes opened to what you are already doing in our world, the places where the Holy Spirit is at work, where we can partner. Lord, I pray that in a world that seems full of darkness, that we would see the light, that we would become the light, a light of justice, peace, and hope, and above all else, love. We thank you, God, for what you are going to do in this church and what you're already doing. We love you, God, and in your name we pray. Amen. May you go in peace this morning.